Today is Wednesday all day, and we're in the process of connecting to the UK because we want to talk with somebody who's going to motivate us, help us. They're going to make sure that we're on the right track this morning. In fact, it's Andrew Donovan. She has helped people lose weight, eat less. She's helped them join a gym. She's helped them even be nicer to their in-laws. Can you imagine that? Andrew, can you hear me this morning?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
We're hearing you fine. Very, very, very well. Okay, Andrew, I want to just talk a little bit about this because you are this motivational expert that is helping people all over the globe, not just in the UK, but literally around the world. And many people want to know more about you. So let's take a few minutes and just talk about you. I mean, how did you get motivated to do something like this?
Well, very, very interesting. I mean, I started out my life working with disengaged teenagers in very rough areas in London and managed to really get through to them. So latterly, having had a whole career with management development and corporate change, I've been working with people all over the world who want to create more meaning and purpose in their life, usually people who've got quite complicated lives to juggle. And I got inspired to put it in writing because people were saying, you know, do you have a book? Do you have a tape? This is really amazing. But, you know, I want something with me after the retreat. So that's why I wrote it.
Well, we're looking at a picture of you whenever you're talking. And, of course, on the phone with me is Andrew Donovan. And you have really kind of captured what makes people tick. So what in motivation, what is the biggest thing you're reaching out in order to motivate someone?
I think the first stage, which people forget to look at, is really to do the inward work, which is asking themselves deeper questions like, what lights me up? What gets me out of bed in the morning? When, you know, thinking about when were they happy? You know, who were they surrounded by? What were they doing? And through asking some of these questions, which my book goes into, I call it values digging, you know, or digging for values, mining for values. Because once you've got to your core values, for instance, it might be something like recognition or love, then you can start creating a life that has you express that value and experience it more often. And people often forget that and they start targeting all sorts of goals outside themselves and wonder why when they get them, they're not happy.
All right, so this is John speaking. I want to know, so you feel it's good for people to visualize themselves completing the goal before they complete the goal?
An important part of creating the life you want is being able to envision, absolutely. So yes, I do agree with you, John. I think the envisioning process, the process of actually creating in your mind's eye what you want to get, is absolutely vital, because Aristotle said contemplation is the first stage of action. In other words, what you're imagining in your head, you're creating a reality, and that makes it a lot easier to achieve than if you haven't got a clue what you want.
You know, whenever, Andrew, we start talking about this, one would say it's just mental ascent. In other words, they're just saying, okay, well, you're just trying to think positive in the middle of the mess, but you still got the mess to deal with. And so, you know, just thinking it's going to get better doesn't make it any better. So how do we handle those things?
Well, I tackle all that in the central part of the book where I'm talking about physically rewiring yourself. A little bit like an old house that needs rewiring. We all need to be rewired because we're hardwired sometimes to feel like losers, failures, we're not good enough, we're not beautiful enough or whatever. And so part and parcel of the work you have to do on yourself, because this is not, you know, an easy ride, it's not a quick thing. You have to examine some of that belief system you have, some of those negative voices. And actually, in the book, I characterize these voices as little rats. Rat is short for rational mind. And your rat will always be trying to have you survive and remain in your comfort zone to keep you safe. So one of the things you have to start to rewire is that inner voice that is always arguing for your limitations.
There was a methodology, even a theology, at one time, and I think it still exists to some degree today, with some groups that, you know, whenever they start talk about visualizing, they start talking about this, you know, just because you say it's going to happen doesn't always make it happen. So, you know, you can sit there and say all the time, like I could say today, you know, I don't have this respiratory thing. I don't have this this sinus thing going on. I don't have this. Well, I do have it. But I guess it's the way I take it and use it and the way I just get around it. In other words, it doesn't have to get me down. I'm still at work today. I'm still functioning. I'm still doing everything. I may be doing it in a lower voice than I normally would, but, you know, I'm still here. And but, you know, it's just saying it's not there doesn't make it happen. So, you know, how do you do the visualization without denying the truth of it, without denying the fact that it's you know, this is what I mean. You can sit there and say all the time, you know, I someone who doesn't have enough money for rent, and they're there saying, well, you know, I'm fine, life is good, everything is good, but it's not. They don't have the money for the rent, and they have to still deal with that. So how do you deal with it? Because these are things that happen to us, the health, the financial issues, whatever. And so how do we motivate? How do we get around that to be able to make that productive?
That's a really good question. I mean, the first thing I just want to say is I'm not in the business of having people lie to themselves or be in denial about the what's so. You know, if you have a respiratory problem or you've got grinding poverty or whatever's going on with you, you have to acknowledge that is the truth of what, you know, what the situation is right now. But I think you have to at some point move from there to actually saying, what is it that I do want in my life? And part of that is to start creating some positive focus and affirmation. So, for instance, around the poverty, if all you're focusing on is what you haven't got, how bad your life is, you're being a victim, nothing's going to change. But if you start to imagine yourself with the resources that you need, with the health that you want, and start to visualize that and imagine yourself having those things, you would be really surprised about what starts coming into your space and the sort of things you need to notice that are happening around you. Now, the physical stuff is definitely a challenge, but it's not insurmountable. I don't know if you've ever looked at things like certain ailments are usually a sign, spiritual people say, of something that isn't working in your life. For instance, respiratory could be something you're not communicating, or, you know, deeper meditation to find out where's this coming from. Could be an interesting way of releasing some of that stress. But it's a bit more difficult to talk about the physical stuff. But certainly the grinding poverty and that kind of situation is very easy to start to change if you make the right steps.
All right, it's John again. I'd love to hear what you have to say to people that make these goals, they visualize themselves completing them, but then fail at the end. Like, what do you have to say to those people?
Well, one of the things I'd say is, are you attached to the picture or the experience? Because, for instance, I was working with a lady who was desperate for a baby. She thought she was totally infertile, blah, blah, did all the IVF. And then through some exercises we did, what we found out was what she really wanted was to nurture. It wasn't so much that once she'd realized it didn't have to look like a big belly and a baby popping out of her, she was able to explore other options. And as a result, she now has two lovely children. So she's gone down a different route, which it was the adoption route. But she needed to do quite a lot of work to realize it's nurturing that she wanted. That was the experience. And I think people get attached to the picture rather than the essence. So I think sometimes going, but what's the essence of what I want? Is it love? Is it a relationship? Or is it the picture? Because that then gives you lots of different opportunities to achieve it. Doesn't always have to look a certain way. Does that help?
Yeah, definitely. Hey, I just want to say to our audience that's listening on WTYM, you can call right now or you can text, whichever you'd like to do. If you call, it's 543-1380. I'll get the right number. And if it's text, it's 543-1380. It's both the same number, call or text. If you have a question, a comment for Andrew Donovan today, she is the motivational expert. She is an expert in leadership development, and she does a lot of corporate transformation consulting work. She is best known for her life-changing retreats that take place all around the world, and so we're glad to have her as part of David and Friends today. So I appreciate her being here.
Thank you.
Andrew, as we talk about these things, you know, there is the thing that says that despite my circumstance, I can't always dictate in my life what's going to happen. In other words, someone walks up to me and says, you're stupid. Well, I can't stop them from the assault that they may do. But I can also, dictate to me how I'm going to receive that and how I'm going to respond. So do you teach people the response that should come or that they need to develop when they have a person or something in their life that comes at them that's so negative?
Well, that's a really interesting point, because the phrase that comes up as you're talking there is, you can't make me feel inferior without my complete cooperation. And I love that, because I've got to be complicit with the criticism to take it on board. But if I have an inner strength, so I've already started to do work on my own reality of myself, where the positive affirmations come in, where I can say things like, you know, I'm an honest, open, loving human being, then if you come to me with criticism, then I can bat that off. But when your criticism agrees with the way I feel about myself, then that's where I can take it on board and actually magnify it. So the first place to begin is to start the inward journey about what's my view of myself. And that's where we need to start dismantling some of these negative beliefs, some of them we've picked up from childhood. You know, it could be a parental voice, a teacher voice, another sibling, a friend who's given us some negative reality about ourselves. But, you know, we can graduate from that and go, you know what, I can choose how I feel about myself now. I don't have to be the victim of these inner little voices I picked up as a kid.
It's interesting. You know, we've been talking off and on in the last few weeks, even about bullying, and the fact that people who do the bullying tend to look for the weakness in someone, and whether that's they can tower over them physically, whether they can say something, and when they say something sharp, they want to look for what result it gets, and they just do it, and sometimes they even do it without realizing they're doing it, because that is the type of mentality that they have. But the person, the average person out there today, if you have been the target of such things, if you have been the target of, and it could be even a spouse, unfortunately, or a person, a partner in a very close relationship, these are things that we have to walk through and start with ourselves rather than with the person, because we have to be able to say to ourselves, regardless what is being said, I have to choose my reaction. And I'll tell you what, that's really hard, because some people are out there, they go into explosive mode. And of course, then the bully, the person, the perpetrator, knows that that's the hot button and works off of that hot button. So once again, as you're teaching people, I guess the person out there that's going through this and saying, well, how do I respond? Because, you know, as soon as something's said like that, I want to explode. I want to, it tears apart at the inside of me, and I want to lash back. How do I get a hold of myself in the middle of this?
Well, I've got two responses to that. Initially, I just wanted to say that you do get in life what you expect. So let's say you're the wife that's abused by her husband, either emotionally or physically. If you're expecting that kind of behavior and you're tolerating that kind of behavior, it's obviously going to continue. So there comes a point you need to go, enough's enough. I'm not going to take this anymore, because I'm going to see myself in a different way. And you need to look for resources and help and support and all that to help you with that. But the first stage is an inner decision that goes, no, enough's enough. So that's my first response, whether it's being bullied at school or bullied by your husband, or you're bullying your husband or whatever, you know. The other thing is, I think one of the things I teach is how to decode yourself emotionally. So when you hit a barrier, whether that's inflicted, you know, externally by a bully, or whether you're hitting an emotional barrier, you're going to hit things like apathy, grief, anger, fear, pride, all these sort of emotions. And I can help people understand those emotions, but more importantly, the thoughts that go with those emotions. And once you realize you are a machine that hits emotions and thoughts, you can begin to raise your energy and motivate yourself to break through. And it's about setting short-term goals. So, for instance, let's say, you know, just to take a very simple example, you wake up in the morning, the alarm's gone off, excuse me, and you've hit apathy, as in, I don't want to get out of bed. The first thing you need to do is go, oh, that's interesting, I'm in apathy. Right, what can I do to break through this apathy? I know, coffee, shower. And just physically moving and getting yourself out of bed completely change your physiology and focus. And, you know, I magnify that view over a number of different situations until you can actually start to stand outside yourself and analyze what emotion and thoughts you're in, because that's the only way you can take control of your life.
Now, see that, John? It's visualizing, how can I get up? What can I do? And did you do the coffee this morning?
No coffee. I'm trying to let go of coffee. I'm tired of staining my teeth.
Okay. That's what they make toothpaste for. We're cool. But you did the shower. So you said, perfect. This is how I can get up. This is how I can make this work. And, yeah, there you go. So, very good. People texting us this morning, they're asking some questions, or I guess they're making some statements, but it's more or less about their it looks like this person has some anger things going on. So where does the anger part come from in our lives?
I think anger is rage. And rage can be expressed in a very violent and aggressive out there sort of way, or it can be very suppressed. And, you know, I work with a lot of men who suppress their anger because they're worried if they actually express it, you know, they're going to be violent. So you see two sides of it. I'm not sure where it comes from. It depends on every situation. But anger has to be channeled. So the energy is great, because when you're in anger, you've got lots of energy available to you. But I think the important thing is to channel the anger into something more positive. Because if you do anything out of those negative mindsets, like apathy, anger, fear, grief, etc., you're going to create more of the same. So if you're complaining to the receptionist in anger, it's going to backfire. But if you move through your anger and channel it into creating cooperation, you're going to get a better result. So I teach people how to channel the anger, so that they can get much more of what they want in life and less kind of explosions around them.
All right, it's John again. I would like to know, what would you have to say to motivate a selfless person? A selfless person that is being taken advantage of by a selfish person.
Oh, in other words, they give and give and give, but the other person's not giving. They're taking.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I think it's the first stage of that is to start to get them to create a different relationship with themselves, because the most important relationship you're going to have is the one you have with yourself. So rather than saying to yourself, for instance, in your private little voice in your head, I'm not worthy, I'm a useless whatever, I think it's worth rewiring that statement into I'm good enough. I am, you know, the physical universe gives me things that I need. I can create friendships when I choose to, you know, all sorts of things like that. But you have to say them over and over to yourself until you've created a neural pathway, at least 14 times to change the habit. I mean, I'll give you an example. When I first had a baby, I was saying to myself every evening, I would debrief in my head and go, she didn't eat today, or she woke up every 2 hours. I'm a terrible mother. And it wasn't until I start talking to this friend who she said, do you realize what you're saying about yourself is you're saying you're a terrible mother? And I wasn't even conscious. And she said, is that baby fed? I said, yes. She said, is it dry? Yes. Is it happy? Yes. Then you're good enough. So in my head, whenever I wanted to say I'm not a good mother, I'd go, I'm good enough. And, you know, it really changed my relationship with myself and that perfectionist in me that needed to do everything brilliantly, like the textbook says. So I don't know if that helps, but the inner voices are the ones to surface, because if you're not aware what's going on, you need to start writing down some of these negative things you say to yourself, because half the time we're not even conscious of these inner bullies that are beating us up.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we'll say, well, that's just my life, or, just the way things go for me, you know, and it just, it really is self-deflating. There's no doubt about it. And we're not going in that good direction. Hey, your book is Motivate Yourself, Get the Life You Want, Find Purpose, and Achieve Fulfillment. And I guess the big question is, how do people get a copy of it if they want it?
Well, in the U.S., it's available on Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. So that's easy. In the U.K., it's also available in bookshops. So I think the best bet would be the Amazon.com. And you can get it on Kindle, or you can get it on paper copy. And it really is a course in a book. So I highly recommend, if you're really interested in making a change in life, you get yourself a journal or your digital device and you take it through stage by stage. And I can guarantee that it will start to get you thinking about, you have all the resources to change your life.
All right, Andrew Donovan, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate these good words today on David and Friends.
Thank you so much.